Good morning and welcome to the broadcast. We appreciate your tuning in today. It's great to have you listening, and we hope that you can open your Bible to Luke chapter 24. We're going to be reading and studying from Luke chapter 24 for just a few minutes today. And what we're finding here is that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Now, Jesus had already told his disciples before it happened that he would die and that he would rise from the dead on the third day. Jesus told them this several times before this day came, and he told them in very clear words that it would happen. So, when the day came that Jesus rose from the dead, how did these disciples react? Well, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8, that certain women went to the tomb, and when they got to the tomb, they found that it was empty, that the body of the Lord Jesus was not there. But what they did find was that there were two angels, and those two angels said that Jesus was risen from the dead, and they reminded these women that the Lord had said plainly that he was going to do this. In verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And that's when the Bible says about these women in verse 8, and they remembered his words. So now then, in verse 9, what these women do is to go back and to tell these men. And they return from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11. Now, they're not 12 disciples now. Judas Iscariot has left them. And of course, the Bible says that he went out and he hanged himself. So here we have the 11 apostles, and also the Bible says they told all the rest, that is, all the rest of the disciples and followers of Jesus. The Bible tells us who these women were in verse 10. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. So here we have the situation then. These apostles have heard Jesus say several times that he would be killed, but that he would rise from the dead. These women go to the tomb early, and they come back and tell these apostles that his body is not there, and that these angels have plainly said to them that he is risen from the dead, just like he has told you. Now, how did Peter and how did these other men react? Well, the Bible tells us in verse 11, the scriptures say, and their words, that is the words of these women, seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. These men simply didn't believe them. The words of these women just seem like, as the Bible says, idle tales, empty chatter, just talk, maybe like gossip or hearsay that was going around. They just did not accept what these women said. Now, what we want to look at today for just a few minutes is why did they react like this and how could they not believe? And we want to learn just as much as we can for us today. It's one thing to look at these men and to talk about the fact that they didn't believe when they should have. It's another thing for us to look at ourselves and to apply what we're learning here to our lives and especially to our hearts. And that's what we want to do. Now, these men, remember, had seen many of Jesus' miracles. In fact, these men had witnessed more miracles of Jesus than anybody else and closer than anybody else. And they had heard Jesus say many times that he would rise from the dead. But now the Bible also tells us on one occasion that when they did hear him talking about being killed and rising from the dead, they did not understand what he was talking about. Now, when we look back at that, we say, well, how could they not understand? What was unclear? What was unplain about it? He simply said, I'll be killed and I'll rise again. And of course, we have to remember that they didn't have the right concept of the Messiah at this time. They thought that the Messiah was going to be an earthly ruler. And so when you have an earthly ruler that is put to death, even when he says that he's going to rise from the dead, that's still something that gave them a hard time as far as understanding it was concerned. But even though they sometimes had trouble understanding what Jesus was saying, they also said, we believe. In John chapter 6, verse 69, Peter said, "Now we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In John chapter 16, verse 30 and 31, the night before he was crucified, they all joined in and said, "Now we believe, now we're sure that you're really the one." And that's when Jesus immediately said back to them in John 16, verse 31, "Do you now believe? Do you really? Are you sure that you believe?" Because Jesus knew that their faith was going to be tested that night, and he knew that they were going to falter in their faith. But still, it was easier for them to say that they believed while he was with them, while he was talking to them, because they felt safe, they felt protected, and they felt sure. And once he was taken from them, they felt alone, they felt afraid, and they felt discouraged. The Messiah has been killed. And their idea of the King of Israel, their idea of the Messiah, was still not clear. They just felt that the evil forces of mankind and the evil forces of Satan himself had conquered. They felt like that the Messiah had been defeated. Somebody says, well, they should have believed anyway because Jesus told them. Well, let's again ask ourselves the question, would we have done any different? Would we have done any better? And let's ask this question, do we do any better today when it comes to believing what God has said? Consider just a few things with me this morning. Jesus said to these men that he would rise from the dead, and they ended up not believing that, at least at first when these women said it. Now, of course, later they did, but they made the mistake of doubting and not believing what Jesus said. But we find that many things that God has told mankind have been doubted and questioned and even denied. Now, for instance, Jesus said that he is coming again. In no uncertain terms, the Bible teaches us, especially in the New Testament, that the Lord is coming again. And yet, we find in 2 Peter chapter 3 that there were scoffers in the first century that denied that. And they were making fun of that promise and said, "Where's the promise of his coming? Where is all this teaching that we've heard that the Lord is coming again?" So we find the same kind of statement, the same kind of promise being very, very clear in the Bible, and yet there have been people from the time of the first century who have denied that plain promise of God. Here's another example. God said through Noah that a flood was coming. This is what Noah preached. And yet there were many people, in fact, the vast majority of people, did not believe that. Now here is God telling mankind that a catastrophe is going to take place. And God gives man fair warning. And yet what does man do? Nothing, except not believe it. So the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, that there were 8 people that took God's warning seriously, and the rest, all the rest, died in the flood. Here's another example. God told Lot through 2 angels that the city of Sodom and other cities around Sodom would be destroyed. And Lot tried to tell others. He tried to tell his sons-in-law that that city would be destroyed. But the Bible says that his sons-in-law thought that he was just joking. They thought that he was just mocking and trying to be funny. They didn't take it seriously, and they died. Here's another one. Jeremiah said that Jerusalem would be destroyed, and he preached to these people, and he warned them for 40 years that the city of Jerusalem, the nation of Judah, was going to be conquered and that there would be great suffering. Yet many people, in fact, the vast majority of people, did not believe. And what about today, folks? Do people believe the teaching of the Bible? Do we believe the teaching of the Bible today? The Bible says that there was a great flood, Genesis 6 through 9. There are people who say that they are Christians who deny that today. They just don't believe it. There are people that look at the story of Jonah in the Bible and say, well, I just don't believe that that happened. Now, let me ask you a few questions. Think of it in this way. If Jesus could do all the miracles that he did, then wouldn't it make sense that he could certainly rise from the dead? If Jesus was telling the truth about everything else that he said to these apostles, wouldn't it stand to reason that he was telling the truth about rising from the dead? But now, let's apply this to some other things. If God had the power to make and sustain the world, if God had the power to make the world, and He has the power to uphold and sustain the world, then what about His power to destroy it? If God could make this world, folks, then He can and He certainly will destroy this world at the end of time. And yet you have people who seem to say, well, yes, I believe that God may have made this world, but all this talk about the end of time and God destroying the world, I don't believe that. Well, if God could do the one, He could do the other. And if God could make the world, folks, then He could and He certainly did easily do the miracles in the Bible. If God could make the world, then God could certainly change the world in these acts that the Bible refers to as signs and miracles. And yet you'll find some people that say, yes, I believe that God made the world. I believe that He created the world. And I believe that He sustains this universe. But I just don't believe all those stories in the Bible about the flood and Jonah and the world standing still in the days of Joshua. Well, why on earth would somebody deny those miracles when they admit the greatest miracle of all, and that is creating all this out of nothing? If God could create this vast universe out of nothing, then He can certainly do all these miracles that we read about in the Bible, some of which we've mentioned this morning. And here's something else to consider. If God had the power to make the world, and if God has the power to sustain this world, then He could and He did certainly give us a complete, reliable Bible. People don't realize when they criticize the Bible and say that the Bible is just too hard to understand, that it's not complete, that it's inaccurate, that it's not been transmitted or passed down to us in accurate form. They don't realize that they're actually reflecting on the providence of God and the power of God. Because the same God that could create this world and sustain this world could easily and did easily give us a complete Bible and preserve that Bible so that we can have the truth about salvation and how to live the Christian life. And here are a few other practical things. If God had the power to make the world and sustain it, He can easily answer prayer today. Why would we doubt that God can answer prayer when we believe that God created this universe? And if we believe that God created the world, we ought to have no trouble believing that He can and does work in the world today. Let us not make this mistake today, folks. Let us believe what the Bible says. And let me remind you as we close that the Bible says in Mark 16, verse 14, after these disciples had doubted what Jesus had said, and after they did not believe what the women told them, in Mark 16, verse 14, afterward He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them, that is, He rebuked them, with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. Let us have faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to have you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.